Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. And when there's a football weekend, there's just all sorts of pettiness that comes out.
Yes.
Either our own pettiness or pettiness of others. And we celebrate it 8 a.m. with the Pettycast on Tuesday.
Yeah, and this is where we encourage everybody to let your petty flag fly.
Yes.
Just don't feel guilty or bad about it. Just indulge in being the worst kind of human being. Just take joy in the misery of others. Laugh at it.
Yep.
These are very real, very real situations for these people that are causing a lot of pain, and we will laugh at it.
Text in if you got something you're petty about or something you saw this weekend, especially something we won't get to. I already see a text on something that didn't make the petty cast because the audio wasn't great, but I will mention a texter. Don't worry. And you know what you're talking about. It's basketball related. We'll get to it, I promise. Petty as it gets. Probably the pettiest thing I saw this weekend was the University of Texas after a trouncing of Oklahoma. They had so many reasons to celebrate after that win. 34-3, they vanquish Oklahoma, and it looks like Texas is going to be going up for a long, long time, and OU's got a lot of things to figure out with Brent Venables as the head coach, including figuring out whether or not Brent Venables should be the head coach. Instead of celebrating that victory and all that went with it, a blowout of Oklahoma, their arch rivals, first time they ever played each other as SEC schools, Texas chose to take a Baker Mayfield jersey, spread it out on the logo at midfield, and jam a Longhorn flag like right through where his heart would be.
I give them such an A+
for pettiness.
Honestly, in this age of NIL, where you know you wonder how much of these kids even care about their specific alma mater or anything.
History.
They took the kid from Austin who went to Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield, and just flat out, just like it was an ode to their fan base and everything else. The history of the rivalry, various crap that Baker Mayfield's probably said, in the last couple of years. It's kudos to the Longhorn kid.
You give it an A+ for pettiness. I do as well. It's as petty as it gets. That was 7 years ago. Or whatever it was. Seven years ago.
I mean, it's not. I don't approve of it, and yet at the same time, I kind of approve
of it. For now, we do.
Yeah.
From 8 to 8:18, we do. Here's Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield actually was asked about this in his post-game press conference on Sunday after the Bucs win over the Saints.
I don't know if you've paid attention to what happened in the Oklahoma game yesterday, but they planted your jersey midfield and stuck a flag through that. What's up with you catching some strays there?
That's just... a kid from Austin, Texas. They went to Oklahoma and won his last two Red River games and being rent-free in their heads for almost a decade now. So, that's a good feeling.
I left the giggle in at the end from her.
I got to respect Baker Mayfield's pettiness there, too. Just bringing up the receipts and then also not afraid to just... you know, flat out foment hate in his hometown.
Yep.
That he doesn't care when he goes back to his favorite pizza shop that he's talking when he's when he's ducking the cops in Austin trying not to get tackled. He's living that life.
Yep.
So A+ on the pettiness for Baker Mayfield as well.
Good pettiness coming back. All right.
I think there's also a little bit of Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he claims he's from Victoria, even though he's actually from Austin, because it would have been stupid if he was from Austin and called himself Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, likewise, he just kind of divorced himself from his hometown
You do what you do.
That's Rogan's town now, anyway.
Rogan. Yeah, and all the Callies coming in. Our weekly Deshaun Watson pettiness, okay? And now, you know who's not around anymore, who I kind of miss?
Who?
Is... Deshaun's receivers aren't doing him any favors, guy.
Oh, that guy.
Remember, he was around for a little bit the last couple of years. Like, oh, no, if you watch game to game, snap to
if
snap.
If
you know ball guy. Yeah, he's not around anymore. You know why? Because some of these numbers for Deshaun Watson, it is astounding how historically bad he is this season. Through 6 weeks.
Amidst other quarterbacks who also have bad receivers or whatever, other excuses to make, he's even worse than
them. He doesn't have bad receivers anymore. He's got Amari Cooper. I mean, Jerry Jeudy's not what we thought he would be, but he's not terrible. He's got David Njoku. Like, he's actually got decent receivers. I'm just going to give you a few of them. Bill Barnwell has an article on why the Browns should bench Deshaun Watson that I got I got feeling sorry for Deshaun after like the first 8,000 words of it because he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't let up with the stats. He was like one of the Cobra Kai just kicking Daniel in the face in Karate Kid over and over and over. Eventually, the other Cobra Kai are like, hey, man, let him go. He's had enough. That's what I felt like with Deshaun, but I'll give you just a couple. Deshaun, as far as drop back success rating, which means you drop back and your play generates what it's supposed to, he, out of 741 quarterbacks this millennium, in weeks 1 through 6 of the season, Deshaun's success rate is 734th out of 741. Since 2007, 566 quarterbacks have thrown at least 100 passes in the first 6 games of a season. By the metric of first down generated per pass attempt, Deshaun Watson is last about out of 566. Think of the janky quarterbacks who have played since 2007.
Yeah.
Only 6 teams since 2000 have managed fewer trips to the red zone through 6 games than the 2024 Cleveland Browns. 6 teams in 24 seasons. His QBR is 21.5 for this season. There is only one other player within 15 points of him right now in terms of being bad, and it's Will Levis, who's at like 28 or 28 point whatever. I saw what you saw, Seth, too. About Big Cat from Barstool?
Yeah, Big Cat from Pardon My Take.
Yes.
He said something that honestly, you know, he was joking. He was just kind of trying to, he was like openly saying, I'm kind of trying to come up with a different angle on this. But I think it resonates in Houston especially. He's like, what if the Browns are just figuring, well, the best punishment for Deshaun is to actually make him do that thing that he hates, which is play football right now. Because it looks like he just doesn't. He's going to make his money regardless. And it looks like he'd rather just be, I don't know, gallivanting about the world with his influencer girlfriend and still earning that money than playing football. And that at this point, Browns fans are dead enough inside that they probably don't hate watching the game as much as Deshaun hates playing the game.
Yes, it's a great take.
The Houston side of that is it was kind of, I mean, that's what Casario did to Deshaun his last training camp here. Basically, it was like, oh no, you'll be out there. You'll be out there on the field and you're going to be, you'll be wearing a penny during scout team walkthroughs and everything. No, you're going to have to walk past the media every day. You're going to be out there. We're not just going to make this easy for you.
I love it. I love it. This is 92.3 The Fan morning host Ken Carmen losing his mind yesterday again over the Deshaun Watson situation.
I can't do the functional offense anymore because you know what functional offense is? At best, under 500 football. So the only way that I can make any of this good, well, that's the thing. That's
99
the
was functional more functional offense. Than this.
Functional offense.
2016 was more functional than this.
Our co-host on a Tuesday is one of your leading scorers, and he's a safety. That's a functional offense. The safety's one of the leading scorers on a functional offense. So we have to what? We have to see this through? See what through? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. This is a life sentence. It's over. And the only way out that I can give anybody any hope at all, anybody any hope, is that if he keeps starting, that means they'll keep losing. And then you can have the conversation about Quinn Ewers or Shador Sanders, who looks sensational in a loss, by the way. I was more impressed of him because he lost Travis Hunter. Here I am talking quarterbacks all over again, Tone. Here we go.
It's October.
Here we go.
I mean, that is a great cut.
Rodney McLeod.
Yeah.
He's their third leading scorer right now. Yeah. Guess how many points he has?
He's got 2 touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
12 points. Yeah. He's got 12 points.
Amari Cooper is their second leading scorer with 12 points.
12 points.
They're tied.
Yeah, they're tied.
They're the top, and then their place kicker, Dustin
Hopkins. Kicker's number one, yeah.
So Amari Cooper is tied with the safety for most points scored on the team.
They have the most touchdowns on the team, the two of
those
them.
Those two are, yeah, and they're the leading touchdown achievers.
Yeah. Wow. Rodney McLeod is their, he's like their Tuesday weekly guest that they have.
They don't have a single other player on their offense with more than one touchdown.
Yeah, it's incredible. They're so bad. They're so bad. All right, let's keep it moving because I want to get to Nick Sirianni. If you missed it, Nick Sirianni, 2 things he did. Head coach of the Eagles, who's on the hot seat right now, despite beating the aforementioned Cleveland Browns this past week. They beat the Browns in Philly, and fans were still chanting, fire Nick, fire Nick. Well, Nick Sirianni chose to walk over and talk trash to those fans after the win. Got a lot of attention. Then he goes to the post-game press conference where there were, I'm sure, plenty of difficult questions ready to be asked by the Philadelphia media. And he brought his three kids with him. Looked to be like ages 9, 5, and 3. You know, something like three little kids who all, throughout this 15 minutes, looked like they wanted to be anywhere but with their dad at the press conference. Like the one kid's
like,
on
no,
his,
you're gonna, yeah.
They're like falling asleep and they got their hand on their, you know, their face on their hand. They're like, why are we up here, dad?
He had one of them carry his pager for him. It's dicey stuff.
Yeah. So, so Nick Sirianni, man, we could play multiple cuts from this press conference. This is a point where he gets real chippy with the media and actually curses during this, and his kids think, that part woke them up. They thought that was pretty funny.
Because y'all are making a big deal about it. I mean, is it like, guys, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fix it. We've known how to score in the past. Like, we get it. You guys have a job to do, and you're going to fixate on one thing, and you're going to be like, oh, they haven't started fast, or they haven't turned the ball over. Like, we got it. Like, we're going to do everything we can do to fix it. Like, and I don't want that to be in their heads. That's why I'm basically telling you guys, all right, we got it. We'll figure it out. And so, sometimes you get things in your head and you continue and it kind of, you know, works there. But like the defense started their ass off. It was 10. It was 10-0 to start the football game off, and the defense didn't let up a play. And so they played their. So they started fast, right? And we'll get it figured out on offense. We will get it figured out on offense. Do you think that was funny?
All right. He kissed his kid. You think that's funny? He interrupted questions. He stopped answers in the middle of answers multiple times in that press conference to like, hey, sit up straight, or hey, you think that's funny? Like if I were a media member up there, I would have been pissed.
and you are. It's one of those things it's like you see the tactic for what it is, and yet it's an effective tactic.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the one that's like, ah, screw this. I'm going to skewer their dad right in front of him. The biggest thing about Sirianni yelling at the fans was that if what triggered him was them yelling, fire Nick, I'm all for him wearing your emotions on your sleeve, but that's a me versus you thing, not a team versus you thing.
Yep.
That's he's making it about himself there if that's what triggered him. There's a certain part of being the head coach that like you got to be the guy that shows as an example of being able to ignore some of the slings and arrows.
Yes.
That you got to be above some of that.
For sure.
Him getting triggered by people who are specifically targeting him, that's where I think it goes off the rails too much. Somebody, and I don't know how much to read into this, somebody else from Philly had pointed out, they're like, dude, it looked like he cut his own hair before that game.
Oh, dude.
Like he just,
it was bad.
Yeah. But I don't know if that, he always has a hat on, so I don't know if that's how he normally
just
looks
saying,
or
he
not.
He doesn't look good.
It looks like he's going through some things.
Maybe.
And him bringing his kids up there, I didn't want to just jump onto that, okay, it's a human shield. It almost might be one of those things where, all right, the stress at work started to boil over to home, and he had to have a talk with his family about like focusing on the things that matter. But he's going through some stuff. Have you ever seen the SNL skit, the little song they did where Will Ferrell plays the math teacher that shows up at the high school kids' party?
No.
And he's going through some stuff. He's like twisting his wedding band, is like, you know, kind of just looking off into the distance.
That's Sirianni.
That's Sirianni. Yeah. It looks like he's going through some stuff. Yeah.
Last one here. I mean, we got a bunch of them. We may do some leftovers later in the show. I want to get to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, Tennessee Titans wide receiver. Will Levis is his quarterback. Keep in mind, Calvin Ridley chose to sign with the Titans this offseason. No catches. Didn't get targeted till the fourth quarter of the game. The loss to the Colts on Sunday. Here was Calvin Ridley.
They wanted to kind of make getting you targets and part of this offense a priority today, and to kind of not have it result in any catches. I guess what was kind of off that resulted in targets but no catches?
I had targets in what part of the game I had targets?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then. So I need some in the beginning of the game too, then. Like, getting crazy for me. So, I'm just, you know, it is what it is. I suck today. It had to be better.
Good enough, Ben. It is what it is. When it gets to it is what it is, that's bad. This is where I get petty. You chose to sign with the Titans. You knew what you were getting into. You knew Will Levis was their quarterback.
You left one disappointing quarterback for a lower drafted disappointing quarterback.
Yes.
You left one quarterback who's been a disappointment as a number one overall pick to go to a guy that's a second round pick that somebody took a flyer on.
Yeah. These guys.
Will Levis does not seem like the guy who's wired for discontent in the receiving
game. Not at all. No. Not even one bit. We're getting a lot of texts. So, okay, the text I alluded to. Yeah. Someone said, tell me Dante DiVincenzo is on the Pettycast this week. I don't know if you saw this, Seth. Dante DiVincenzo, who's traded from the Knicks to the Timberwolves in the Karl Anthony Towns trade a few weeks ago. They played each other in the preseason, the Wolves and the Knicks, a couple nights ago. And Dante DiVincenzo kept looking over at Tom Thibodeau and barking at him at various times throughout the game. Like, he finished an and one, and he looks over, he's like, I guess I was told I couldn't finish, Tibbs.
Yeah.
He's bouncing the ball, getting ready to take the free throw, and is looking over at Thibodeau going, this is what happens when they let you run the show, Thibs. This is what happened. Like, he's barking. After the game, Jalen Brunson came over to DiVincenzo because they were teammates at Villanova, and DiVincenzo started going after Brunson's old man, who's on the coaching staff with the Knicks, Rick Brunson.
It's him against the world.
Yeah, it was wild, man. So that is some good pettiness right there by DiVincenzo, I would say.
We should. We still got a few in the holster. We might have to. We might have to do a bonus petty.
Do some leftovers,
like 940 or something.
Yeah, do some leftovers. I think for sure. Because we got some
good
ones.
There was a show up in Boston. They've been split up since. I can't remember. The really good Boston morning show that got crazy ratings. They would do it. Every day, their segment at the end was basically the leftover stuff they didn't get to.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
I'll have to remember. I'll go back and play. Yeah,
is it Felger and Maz?
No, not the other ones.
The other one. Oh, Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich.
Yep.
And they were just crazy successful. And they just, they saved the best stuff from the day for the last segment of the day.
Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. Someone is very petty about me cheering for the Yankees over the Guardians. I gave my reasons. You can be petty about it. I gave my reasons as to why.
Sean wants clarity and a limited number of people and fan bases to hate. And he'll continue, like, he can just keep the Yankees in that hate bucket.
Yes.
Without having to add the Guardians to the mix.
My chat is full. I don't need Cleveland entering the chat. That's it, man, for sure.
Frankly, it's a soft stance by you, but whatever.
Okay, right. Well, I'll get petty about that later. Okay, this is from a Longhorn fan. Real quick, two things. One, you're talking about two or three players, not the entire University of Texas. Two, you can't spell loudmouth D-bag without three O-U's. Oh, that's pretty funny. And Baker Mayfield is the poster boy for that. That's pretty good. Loudmouth. Yeah. That's pretty good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. That was the weekly Pettycast. What are we still waiting on from the Houston Texans? What's so funny?
All right, I'll tell you when we come back.
Okay.
It's a funny story.
Seth will tell us what's so funny when we come back. What are we still waiting on from the Houston Texans that we felt like we were promised, or maybe promised ourselves, in the preseason, six games in? We will get to that coming up next.